Good morning to everyone. Today is the second Sunday after Epiphany. The epistle for today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us. Either prophecy to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he that teacheth in doctrine, he that exhorteth in exhorting, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with carefulness, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good, loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another, in carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep, being of one mind, one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. Thus far the words of today's epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith to her, Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the waiters, Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures apiece. Jesus saith to them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus saith to them, Draw out now, and carry to the chief steward of the feast. And they carried it. And when the chief steward had tasted the water and made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward calleth the bridegroom, and saith to him, Every man at first setteth forth good wine, and when men have well drank, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Our dear faithful, we have the 2 lessons here today. And in each of them, as they go together, we have instruction on the virtue of charity, which St. Paul, in this epistle to the Romans, encourages and describes. And also, we have the doctrine of sanctifying grace, symbolized in the gospel of the wedding feast. And these 2 things, the charity and the sanctifying grace, always go together. There is no charity where there is no grace. And there is no grace where there is no charity. And both of these are supernatural. Charity is the virtue by which we love God above all things for his own sake, and we love our neighbors with the same kind of love that we love ourselves for the love of God. We say that in the act of charity. a prayer that you should memorize. You have to know it before your confirmation. It's a good idea, of course, to have it as a part of your daily prayers. If we're reciting our daily prayers, one of the prayers added in should be the acts of all three, the acts of faith, hope, and charity. The act of charity goes like this. Oh my God, I love thee above all things with my whole heart and soul, because thou art all good and worthy of all love. And the second part, I love my neighbor as myself for the love of thee. And I forgive all who have injured me, and I ask pardon of all whom I have injured. That's the love of neighbor. And so these two commandments, they never are kept without sanctifying grace being present. And that is God's own life. When Adam was created, he was created as an adult. God formed his body. And he was created with sanctifying grace. He had God's life in his soul immediately when he was made, because God added it to him when he made him. And that is what he lost when he committed the original sin by listening to Eve and doing what he knew was wrong at her suggestion. So that sanctifying grace is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity. You know that one of the ways we receive grace is to receive Holy Communion. And when we receive Holy Communion, we receive the Son of God. We call it the body of Christ, and it is the body of Christ. And it is the second person of the Holy Trinity, because wherever the body of Christ is, so all the rest of him is there. And so his divinity and the person of the Son is there. And wherever the person of the Son is there, so also there with him are the Father and the Holy Ghost, because they never go alone somewhere. And when we receive grace in our baptism, we receive the Holy Trinity into ourselves, into both our souls and into our body. So that we are living temples of God and children of God, adopted children of the Father of the Holy Trinity, members of the divine family. Really. That is the dignity, the nobility given to Christians in their baptism. And in this epistle, we are told to act accordingly. God is love. God loves you. He wants to give you a chance to prove that you love him too. That's why we're on the face of planet Earth right now. We have the opportunity to show that we will love God for 70 years or so. And if we prove it to him here, then we're worthy to come with him where he wants us to be. And we will go to heaven. But we must prove it. It is not enough to say so and then not act accordingly. Therefore, To act accordingly, we need to love God in return by obeying His commandments. That is how we love God. How do I love God? Well, do what He wants you to do, and do not do what He forbids you. That's how you love God in this world. He who loves me keeps my word. Whether it be the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, it's one way of speaking of God's word, or whether it be the Son of God, we keep the Son of God by keeping Jesus in our hearts and the truths of His faith. And we keep also, He's called the Word because He's the Word of the Father. And then keeping His Word also means keeping His commandments, because among the things He spoke to us creatures were the Ten Commandments and the great commandment of the law. That is why we have to prove our love by obedience, by knowledge of God and obedience. In the Catechism, Baltimore Catechism number 2, St. Joseph's Baltimore Catechism number 2. Read the question in the beginning. How do I obtain the happiness of heaven? The answer is, to obtain the happiness of heaven, we must know, love, and serve God in this world. And so we love God and do what He commands. He commands us also to love our neighbors. And in this epistle to the Romans, St. Paul says a few things about how to love your neighbor. He says that we must not fake love. Let love be without dissimulation. And with the charity of brotherhood, love each other like a brother. In a sense, we're all brothers because we're all children of Adam and Eve. We're all in the same human family, which started with two people. Our great to the 10th power or to the 100th power grandparents, whatever it is, according to the generations that have passed. We're all related to them. And in fact, in a way, we're all related to Noah as well, because everybody that wasn't in Noah's family died at that time. So we're all in one family, all of us. And we are to love one another as though we're brothers, which in a way we are. Now, brothers don't always love each other as brothers should love each other. And so he gives them a description of how what that means. With honor preventing one another. In other words, not condemning each other for their wrong that we see there. Not criticizing people behind their backs. But he said with honor, not dishonor. We prevent one another. If you see somebody going wrong, you don't go and buzz it around through the gossip circles. You prevent them, and you keep their honor. Go and speak with them yourself. In another place, it is written in the Holy Scriptures that we first speak with the person who needs correction. And we have to do this carefully because they will take it in as an attack, and if they don't realize they're wrong, then we just make a bigger mess rather than trying to clean up a mess. So we prevent our neighbors, and you go directly to them and say, is this a good idea that you're doing? Can you think about it? Let me know. I'm not talking to anybody else but you. And then another place it says, if they will not hear you, then tell those that are in charge. Those whose duty it is to do something about it. First duty belongs on us. If we are in the wrong, the first person who has a duty to correct that is we ourselves. We're supposed to correct ourselves. If that's not being done, then an authority receives this blessed responsibility of correcting us. But if we won't correct ourselves, then don't be surprised if the authorities come down on you. Then there's the third one is to tell the church. If they won't listen to the authorities, then tell the church. And if you won't listen to the church, then he's excommunicated. Let him be as the heathen and the pagan. Don't have anything to do with him. But we do not want that to happen. Sometimes that seems to be a person's first choice, is just to divorce oneself from the problem immediately instead of trying to be a part of a solution for it. And that is not charity. That is selfish hatred. And we must all learn these lessons. Preventing one another with honor. If someone has ever done that to you, you know what I'm talking about. Instead of going and smearing your name all over, they will come to you and say, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourself this way. Don't continue that way and fix it up, or else you'll really be embarrassed. Okay? You don't want them embarrassed. You want them to have proper honor. That's normal. That's charity. Right? In carefulness, not slothful. Slothfulness, preventing someone carefully, because you don't need to make it worse. You're trying to make it better. And if you're not careful, you will make it worse. Slothfulness means I just get it done quickly and don't worry about being careful, because that's too much trouble to be careful. I'm just going to go and chew them out. That's slothful. That's a slothful way of correction. Parents, you correct your children. Don't be slothful about it. Slothful and lazy parents will just slam their children because they are bothered. It's not the right way to approach it. You start by kind correction, and don't wait until you're angry before you correct them. And if you do get angry, you need to correct yourself before you correct them. In spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. That's a part of charity. If we are impatient, we are uncharitable. Instant in prayer. We should be praying as easily as we breathe. And a frequent reflection on God. He loves us. He is good. He's watching over us. And He wants the best. And all we need to do is look at Him in our imagination. And He gives us peace and answers. And the tribulation means that we bear the crosses that He gives us patiently, remembering that those are a part of our salvation. And so on, pursuing hospitality, communicating to the necessities of the saints. Here he's speaking of holy ones, those of holy stature, like clergy and religious, taking care of the clergy and the religious. And hospitality towards all. Bless them that persecute you. To love our neighbors, we do not curse them. We do not speak any evil against our neighbors. Even if we are certain that the neighbor is being evil in this or that way, it is no excuse to curse them. That is not what God wants. What is he thinking then? He wants them to change their evil ways and be good because he loves them. Even before they become good. He is hoping that they will change their wicked ways and become good. And that is what we must consider. Not curse our neighbor. He says, bless them. Bless them that persecute you. Ask a blessing on them. It's very simple. Good God, a big blessing on them, please. And while you're at it, one for me too. Supersize both of them. I know it doesn't cost you anything extra to give a bonus blessing. And you love us. And so you ask a blessing on people. Don't curse. Don't speak evil. Don't call them names in a spirit of, you know, retaliation. Because that's contrary to charity. And then he speaks about being at peace with others in various simple little ways. Being at peace, which brings a harmony and friendship and strengthens that friendship. Of course you love your neighbor, but you want also a strengthening of that love and a harmony between people. And so he goes on and he polishes off the cake with a few little advices how to do that. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Your neighbor wins the lottery, right? Give him a big smile and say congratulations and don't be jealous. You hope for the best for him and he's going to throw a party to celebrate. You know, you come and celebrate with him. If he doesn't, you still rejoice. If he has good luck, the storm hits and all the neighborhood houses are all knocked down to the ground and flooded and his house is completely untouched, right? Then you be glad for that. Say, thank God his house is okay. If it weren't, none of us would. It was like the little girl who said a prayer when she had a bad luck in the family. The father lost his job. Mother was sick. And brothers were sick and sisters. And things were looking pretty bleak in the house. And so she said her prayers and said, dear God, please pray for mommy because she's sick and daddy lost his job. And brothers and sisters get better and things will turn right again. And by the way, take care of yourself too, because if you don't take care of yourself, all of us will be in the soup. All right. So she was thinking of God too. We think of everyone. We must think of everyone. Being of one mind. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Compassionate them. They have trouble? Go and offer your comfort. That's what they need, and that's what you would want if you were the one in trouble. You see, the whole thing of charity makes us very good people. Good to God and good to each other. And that is the way God's family is supposed to be. And we all have to work on it. And let's do that. We have this season of Epiphany when the three wise men, the three kings, traveled a long way because they heard and they knew from prophecies that when the star appeared, they would follow it and find the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and that they should go and offer him due homage for his divinity, for his redemptive humanity, and for his kingship. And so they did these things, and we do the same thing. When we cannot give Jesus food and drink, he's not hungry. We cannot visit him and console him, he's not sad. But when we do it for each other, we do it for him. And that is how he'll reward us. So the love of neighbor is never without the love of God. And the love of God never without the love of neighbor. And God's sanctifying grace, the indwelling of the Holy Trinity, whenever we have it, we have also charity towards one another. Let us then keep our hearts clean from the contagion of the devil, who emphasizes to us what is wrong with our neighbor. He makes big issues out of what's wrong with your neighbors, so that you will despise them instead of loving them. So that you will do what he wants you to do instead of what Jesus has commanded. And that you will not go to heaven, because he does not want you in heaven. And he really doesn't even want you in hell, but that's his only alternative, right? To keep you out of heaven, and so he works to get you in hell. And that's how he works on us, and he does it to us every day, pointing out what's wrong with our neighbors, so that we will not love them. And he often makes us despise our own selves, pointing out what's wrong with ourselves, so that we will not love ourselves as children of God. An anecdote has always been to think positive and say, wait a minute now, this person can overcome this. And if I ask a blessing, well, it's much more likely to happen. So do I curse him or do I bless him? Reminds me of a Sesame Street lesson. Sesame Street was, Ernie was learning his lessons. They were teaching a lesson to the children of the difference between before and after. Right? And he was supposed to eat a cake, and the cake was there, and there was a piece cut for him. And he asked the question to the camera. He says, do I open my mouth before I eat the cake or after I eat the cake? And the voice from above, like it was God talking, said, open your mouth before you eat the cake. So Ernie opens his mouth and puts the cake in and chews it up and swallows. And then he takes another piece of cake, because it was a very good cake, and he still didn't remember the sequence of events. And he said, now, do I open my mouth before I eat the cake or after? And the same thing happened.
Before.
And so he opens his mouth and eats the cake. And then the third time, he does it again, a third piece of cake. And he asks the same question. Do I open my mouth before I eat the cake or after I eat the cake? And the voice from above said,
this time, you're on your own.
And he doesn't open his mouth and slaps it in his face, right? Now, we want to know that we have to bless our neighbors. We ask ourselves, do I bless them or do I curse them? The answer is always, I bless them. Always. And if we always have a blessing for our neighbors, then God will always have a blessing for us. It reminds me of this 9/11 deal also. I see everybody's church sign outside their Protestant church here and there. They have these lighted signs with the black letters on them. And then they put down, God bless America. And I was thinking that time, that's nice. We should ask God to bless. That's good. But we must not expect too many blessings if we do not bless him. And how do we bless God? Principally, by keeping the Catholic faith and by practicing the commandments, and especially that we love one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.